Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, welcome back to the show, In the Name of Jesus, Through the Blood of Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and start off with a prayer. I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascends into hell, and sits at the right hand throne of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and eternal life everlasting. So, today we're reading the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Ephesians, Paul, an Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in the Ephesus, and to the faithful of Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's good to be on the air. I've been a little bit depressed as of today. I drove to Ruby Tuesdays, and I talked to a manager, and I filled out a job application. So there's a chance that I could start either washing dishes or becoming a cook. I used to work at Harry's Seafood Bar and Grill, and I remember we used to shuck oysters there, and they had us prep cook, which was, you know, making three-piece trio entrees for shrimp, which were skewers. So I would make things like salad dressing and, you know, chop up coleslaw. So it was really kind of a prep position. And I like cooking, prepping. And the most fun part about it was just showing up in the morning time and just actually having lots of fun, you know. I remember there was a guy named Tom that I used to work with that used to work there. He had long hair, and he's a big, long-haired Jesus. And he would make everybody laugh. I don't know how he could do it, but he could just make you laugh. And it was funny because they would give us jobs. We'd have odd jobs, like we would have to cook great cheese and go into the walk-in and, you know, get the cheese and come out and start grinding the cheese. And, you know, it was little jobs, and then it worked your way up to see who's going to be cooking that night. But it was a prep job. So it was a good – I mean, I worked there for about 6 months. And, you know, I saved up some money, and I had to spend a lot of money on the house that we were fixing up. We were planning on selling it. So we basically sold that house. And a lot of the money went to my aunt, which is in Texas, and the other half went to my uncle. So he ended up buying the house. I don't know how it worked. I think we still owned it, and he lived there, and he fixed it up. So the house is now actually sold, so we do not own that house anymore. But it was a nice house. I grew up there, and I remember playing kickball out in the streets, and, you know, I remember the kids in the neighborhood I grew up with, you know, watching the go-karts fly by, you know, sitting out on the green box and just enjoying the weather. So I have started this radio show because I am sort of a dark Christian. My family is Catholic. They were Catholic, and they changed their faith and became, you know, First Baptist. My grandmother was a West Monoran woman, and she was raised Catholic, and so was my father. And they really became religious in the, you know, big in the Lord, and they started believing in tongues and worshiping God, you know, and basically it was just me growing up with my sister. So we never went to church. I went to a school called Master John Wong Chung's School of Martial Arts, and I did Taekwondo for about 16 years. So I got pretty good at it. You know, I've been to, like, probably about 10 or 20 different state tournaments, and, you know, I've been to a national, and I never qualified. So I was still young, and I didn't start getting good until I became, like, 20. Like, so I started driving with my friend, and we started filming our fights. I got to the point where I could throw a 540, which is, you know, like a back, it's kind of, it starts off with a back mule kick, and it's kind of like a triple axel. So I can throw one of those. So whether or not you get me back into shape, I will start going back into martial arts. They had a school, Master John Wong Chung, School of Martial Arts here in Jacksonville, and he came over here during the 80s with, I think there was, they were selected, they were handpicked during the general, while Jimmy Carter was president. And he actually had to fly to the White House and train the Secret Service agents, Master John Wong Chung. And he trained all the White House Secret Service agents there. And when he was done, they flew him back to Jacksonville, where he resided, and he opened up a school called Master Chung School of Martial Arts. So my father and my sister took lessons from him while I was at my mother's, and it wasn't until he got custody of me and I ended up going to school there. So I met a lot of black belts, you know, that's here in the state of Florida, and, you know, I know that a lot of the people that did martial arts, Taekwondo, eventually, they're now doing karate. So, usually after a great man, you know, has passed away, people look back and they go, "Wow," you know, and it's still wrenching to see, you know, a good man, you know, pass away. So, I got my black belt, so it was a second Don black belt, and I was supposed to test for my third stripe, but I was kind of into girls, so the last year, I kind of ran away, so, and people, they blame themselves, you know, why do they leave Master Chung and, you know, they go off and they teach somewhere else, or they go start learning somewhere else. Yeah, the ultimate power source. You know, you gotta plug in your power source. And there's, you know, prayers to release the power of blood. And it goes something like this. I cover my mind and my thoughts through the blood of Jesus. I cover my doorposts, my possessions with the blood of Jesus. I cover, overcome the devil through the blood of Jesus. I sprinkle the blood of Jesus and receive multiplied grace by peace. I am made perfect through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I have a boldness to enter the presence of God through the blood. My conscience is purged from dead works to serve the living God through the blood of Jesus. I eat the body of Jesus and drink his blood. I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed through the power of evil. I rebuke all spirits of torment and fear because I have peace through the blood of Jesus. I receive the benefits of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. I receive healing and health through the blood of Jesus. I receive abundance of prosperity through the blood of Jesus. I receive deliverance through the blood of Jesus. I receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and anointing through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus bear witness to my deliverance and my salvation. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sins. Jesus resisted unto the blood, and his blood gives me victory. I rebuke and cast out all spirits of guilt, shame, and condemnation through the blood of Jesus. I break the power of sin and iniquity in my life through the blood of Jesus. My heart is sprinkled and purified with the blood of Jesus and an evil conscience. I rebuke Satan, the accuser of brethren, through the blood of Jesus. I command all accursers to depart through the blood of Jesus. I rebuke and cast all spirits of slander and accusation through the blood of Jesus. I release the voice of the blood against demons and evil spirits that accuse or condemn me. And that's Hebrews 12:24. So, back to what we're saying. There's a Colorado Springs has the I think it's in 2020 that I believe they're having a Olympic gathering. I guess they do it every 4 years. If you're in Orange Park here at the Ron Berry School of Martial Arts, I think they do. It's called the AUF or something, American United Fighting Federation. They are sanctioned with the USAT, which is United States American Taekwondo Association, and they are also sanctioned with the World Taekwondo Federation. So, if you are a Taekwondo martial artist, I know that the Olympics does not accept any other martial arts other than Taekwondo. So there's a good chance if you do practice martial arts that Taekwondo is great. You know, and it's not something that you just pick up right away, although some people can do it, they can pick it up very easily. And I'm good at, you know, seeing people that do have talent, that, you know how to defend themselves. So, you know, one thing we look for, like, in a martial artist is people with feet, like, we look at their feet, you know, because some people were born with, like, flat feet, and some people were born with, you know, nice arches. And we look at, you know, stature, you know, if whether or not, if you're a short fighter, if you're a tall fighter. And everybody, trust me, wants to be tall. Because tall guys make the best martial artists. It's a proven fact, you know. So, you know, I remember when I was going to school, I went to a school called the DePaul School for Dyslexia. And there was a kid there that I used to go to school with, you know, because he roundhouse kicked me in the face one time, like we were in the gym. And I was telling him, I was like, you know, I take these martial arts, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, put your hands up. And I put my hands up, and he roundhouse kicked me in the face. Like it hurt. It hit me right in the nose. So I was like, wow, you know, usually, I guess the karate fighters, they train very well, and what they train mostly in is speed. They learn these, their kicks are mostly, like, when a Taekwondo shows a kick, we pretty much kick to knock the guy's head completely off. You know, we knock him out. It's Taekwondo is made for knockout fighting. It's Chidukwan style, which is it's an attacking, because there's like nine different styles of Taekwondo, and it dates all the way back to the Hoang. I believe they're a traveling monks. They weren't monks, but that during, I think it was if I can go back to the time, it's like 30 AD, you know, when they basically, there was a conflict in China and different parts of Asia, and I don't know what started it. I think it could have been Genghis Khan, but there was a lot of war going on in the middle, you know, in Asia. So, you know, the Koreans actually had started this dynasty, and it was called the Hwaeng, which was the men of the flowering manhood, and they basically went to each village to village, and they were recruiting soldiers. So they would just pretty much take the young boys from the villages and force them to travel with them. And it was almost like sort of like the Crusades at that time. But it was wonderful. It was a time where, you know, people were, you know, poor and destitute and, you know, fighting for, you know, crops. You know, they wanted to eat. They were chosen to build an army, and so they basically taught these kids martial arts and how to ride horses. And it was everything from jump kicking to you know, weapons defense. So they ended up breaking apart, like, you know, 100 years later. You know, people, they actually broke the martial art into different disciplines, and that's where the disciplines came in, and they became, like, disciplines such as Mudo Kwan and Cheeto Kwan and different styles. Anyways, that's what we have for today, talking about the Chungs. And my friend Johnny, he's still working at Merrill Lynch, so, you know, I call him every once in a while, and he tells me he threw away all the stuff, you know, all the martial arts equipment, so it'd be nice to get back in shape. So there are warfare prayers that you can pray. And we can go ahead and say a few of them. It says, prayers that rout demons. Lord, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Lord, I am your end times warrior. Use me as your weapon against the enemy. The weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through you to pulling down strongholds. Satan, you have lost the war in heaven. Let all the enemies that make war with the Lamb be destroyed. I do not war after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, thunder upon the enemy. Release your voice. Hail stones of coals of fire. Send out your arrows and scatter them. Shoot out your light and discomfit them. Deliver me from your strong enemy. And from that are too strong for me. Deliver me and bring me into a large place, for I am your battle axe and your weapon of war. You have given me the necks of the enemies, and I will destroy them in the name of Jesus. I am your anointed. I give great deliverance. I will beat the small as the dust cast them out in the mirror of the streets. I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. I did not turn until they were consumed. I have wounded them. They are not able to rise. They have fallen under the feet. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon I trample underfoot. And this is Psalms 91:13. I tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I tread down the wicked, and they are ashes under my feet. So it goes on. But, yeah, I could still do some of those kicks. And if there's anybody I would like to train with, it would probably be Ron Barry in Orange Park. and he teaches there, and he has a daughter that goes to school there, which qualified at the Colorado Springs, and I think it was 2008 or something. So, yeah, she's pretty good from what I hear. So that's the last of I've heard from competing. And I got this new, I cleaned it in my room today, and I got this dream catcher on the wall, and I've been having some good dreams. You know, they say it's not good to sleep too heavily. Because I think the Muslims, they talk about deep sleep, you know, not sleeping heavily, and to pray at least, you know, 17 times a day. And the wudu, which is they pray, I believe they wash themselves. And there's a prayer, the first chapter of the Quran, that you can read, and it's a recitation. So it basically, it's called the Al-Fatima or something. So I plan on, hopefully, when I get out of here, I'm going to get a Quran book and just learn the first chapter of the Quran and learn how to sing. Because, you know, Christians, they have songs. But, you know, there are songs like, I will fight with the enemy, you know, charge with the cavalry, I am Christ, I am. Prayer through recitation is very important, because you can learn to confess. And confession says, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. And I establish in thy righteousness and oppression far from me. The weapons of the carnal, but mighty through God, says, taking the shield of faith and quenching every fiery dart of the enemy. So, you know, I would like to learn that prayer for the first prayer of the Quran. But until then, we're going to go ahead and read Ephesians. And chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to he that has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children in Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So, that's through his blood. And that's very powerful, because, you know, we have to learn to pray through his blood. And if you're wondering about that and you're trying to learn that, I have something for you that is prayers through his releasing the power of his blood. And that's what we did a minute ago, and it's very powerful. It will help you, you know, calm yourself, and you know, if people are in pain, you know, some people are in pain or some kind of, you know, dark intercession sometimes, you can, you know, sit and you can pray this. So let me see if I can find it. Okay, so here's a good one. Satan, The Lord rebukes thee. Let the enemy perish at your rebuke. Let the enemy flee at your rebuke. I rebuke all winds and storms of the enemy against my life. I rebuke the company of the spearmen and the multitude of the bulls that until they submit. I rebuke that they rush at me and that they flee away. I rebuke the devourer of my sake. I rebuke the horse and chariot and let them fall in deep sleep. I rebuke every clean spirit and would attempt to operate my life. I rebuke the proud spirits that are cursed. And that's a little bit of something that you can do, you know, that helps. And it gets people to snap up, you know, next time if you're encountered as, you know, these are warfare prayers. So, I don't find myself, in a need of, spiritual warfare, because I pretty much, I give hindrance to it. You know, I'm kind of a Gandhi or a Jindu. So, going back to Paul, the Apostle's Ephesians, chapter 1, it says, having made known unto the mystery of his will, and according to which he had proposed in himself, it's the dispensation of fullness of times, that he might gather together in one in all things, both which are in heaven and which they are on earth, in whom we have obtained inheritance, and according to the purpose of that worketh all things in the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. So, basically saying, get out and get a job, start working, and then you can come home to yourself and then you can have some private time, and it gives you basic time where you can reflect on your day, because nobody wants to, because faith that works is they call it dead faith. So you gotta have faith. I'm kind of in the process. I can't really tell anybody what to do, or I'm not here to tell people what to do. But if you like living at home, that's fine. I used to sit at the house and I used to try to find out all the different ways I could try to make money on the computer, and it was a big waste of my life, and I never really could get anything done. And you really got to make the leap of faith. You got to set your alarm clock, and you got to get up at a reasonable time. And whether it's, I know there's a lot of people out there who have problems getting jobs. You make appointments. Make an appointment with somebody and say, listen, I'm a man of Christ. I have being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh with all things, and being the counsel of his own will. I can work. I can do things. I can. I'm a multitasker. I have the ability to help people. I read the Bible. Make an appointment with somebody tomorrow, and if you're looking for work and you want to make some money, make that appointment tomorrow, and then just pray about it. And then I guarantee you that you will receive a telephone call, and they will call you, and you'll be ready to work again. So we're going to go ahead and say another prayer. It's called Praying for Finances. And I believe they have it in here. Okay. Here's a good one. I bind and rebuke every spirit that would attempt to distort, disturb, or disintegrate the development of my personality. I break all curses and double-mindedness on my family in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke all the spirit of double mindedness. I bind and take the authority of the strong man of rejection, rebellion, and separate them in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast out all spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection in the name. I bind and cast out all the spirits of fantasy, harlotry. I bind out and cast out all spirits of insecurity and fury. I bind and cast out all spirits of self-accusation, compulsive confession. I bind and cast out all spirits of fear and judgment. I bind and cast out all spirits of depression. I bind and cast out all spirits of guilt. And I bind and cast out all spirits of perfection, pride, vanity, ego, intolerance, frustration, and patience. So that's for you out there, if you're listening. I hope that will work for you. So going back to Paul, it says, your faith has been quickened. So wherein the time has passed, according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit of that who worketh in the children of disobedience, in whom we have all in our conversation at times, we have fulfilling of the mind, and we have the nature of children of wrath, and even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where within he loved us, hath quickened us together. And he has raised us up together, and will be made to sit together in heavenly places. So, for grace that ye be saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of the works, lest any man should boast, for we are the workmanship, and we are created into Christ Jesus unto his works, so which before ordained we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that being in the time past the Gentiles of the flesh, we are called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So every time I go over that part, it means you're circumcised to the heart, and that means that you are born again. And so, you know, because when Jesus came to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, you know, how are we born for the second time? You know, when how does someone pass through the womb the second time? He says, you're born again of the Spirit. What is not of the flesh is flesh, and the Spirit is spirit, which is you're born again of the mind. And so we have to refresh our minds. So that in which time that ye were without Christ, being aliens in commonwealth of Israel and strangers of covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God is in the world. But now Christ Jesus says sometimes for far off and made high in the blood of Christ, for it is our peace. For hath made both one and hath broken down in the middle by a wall of partition between us. So it says, having abolished in the flesh of the enmity, even the law commandments containing the ordinances, for to make himself twain of a new man, so making peace, and that might reconcile both unto God in the body of the cross, have slain the enmity thereby. So it says, preach peace, and go which to where are far off, and go to them where they are nigh. And it says, through them, both having access by the Spirit of the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers than the foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, and the households of God. So it says, build a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And yesterday I did a show It was a long show, and I think I don't remember what I did. It was on Paul, and this is the Ephesians, and this is kind of like his only chapter that he wrote. So this makes good topic for work, you know, if you understand at least seven of these, you can get around the kitchen or wherever you are, you know, just learn seven of these scriptures, and it helps you battle the everyday stress that people are going through, or you know, that think that you're weird, you know, you might have some insecurities at work or something. Just memorize, stand up in the mirror and say seven of these, and start off with one chapter. So the one I'm going to work on today is the first seven of the Ephesians, and I can help you with that. I know I haven't had any callers call in, but we do have a guest number. And I'll start having people calling in, you know, when I get my P's and Q's in order. I got to get a job, and I got to start making some money because, you know, I have so many goals and so many things I want to do, but I can't sit here and, you know, not do anything. You know, I got to do something. So, you know, they call that, like, I'm probably the most likely person to go, they call it manic, because I have diagnosed schizophrenia. And, you know, I was kind of like one of those adolescent kids, you know, that my dad would tell me, well, you know, what are you going to do with your life? And, you know, we end up getting in an argument, and I storm out the door, and, you know, I just go lose myself somewhere. So I had to find something to keep me occupied, and I ended up buying a computer, and that's how I came up with this show. So I'm still working on a hobby. You know, I got to find something to do with my time. You know, it keeps me from going crazy. So I plan on starting to, you know, do some like calligraphy. That's what I would like to do. And I talked to the manager today, and his name is Sean, and he's going to call me tomorrow. He said call him tonight. I called him tonight, and he said that we have a position available for somebody to come in and work at least 2 days out of the week. And he said that's on Fridays and Sundays. So I talked to him, and it was a management deal thing, and I told him that you know, I have a little bit of experience. So he's gonna he wants he wants he wants me to call. If he doesn't call me tomorrow, I'm gonna call him back. And I'm gonna go to work, and I'm gonna preach the gospel. That's what I plan on doing. So that's what we have for today. I wanted to read a little bit. I found something interesting on the internet, and let me see if you guys are still here. Hope I didn't hang up on you. Okay, you guys are here. We got about 9 more minutes, so that would be embarrassing. I hung up on myself if you guys weren't there. That would have been talking to myself. So this is what I found on the internet today, and let me see if I can type it in real quick. It'll be a surprise. Okay, here we go. This is where I was today, and this is what I was going to do the show on. And this is going to be about Christian martyrs. It says, the Christian martyr who is killed...
Following Jesus. Early Christ years, this often occurred
with stoning, crucifixion, or burning at the stake, or other forms of torture and capital punishment. The word martyr comes from the Greek word martes, which means witness. At first, the term applied to the apostles. Once Christians started to undergo the persecution, the term came to be applied to those who suffered hardships for their faith. Finally, it was restricted to those who had been killed for their faith in the early Christian period before Constantine I. Age of Martyrs. Early Christians venerated martyrs are powerful intercessors, and their utterances were treasured as inspired the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look up intercessors, because, you know, if you ever felt like that, you'll know what that means. Intercession. Kenneth Glory Copeland talks about it. It's the act of praying to God on behalf of others. That means that you are supposed to do something for somebody else. In Western Christianity, the intercession comes from the distinct prayer form, alongside of adoration or confession or thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul's exhortation to Timothy specified that intercession prayers can be made for those in authority. It says, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, or intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who those in authority. So we may live in peaceful and quiet lives in our godliness and holiness. So in the Islam, and if you're wondering really how to pray, it says in Islam it is called the Shafaha, and that's the first chapter of the Quran, which is a form of prayer. And that's what they do. It says, request God for the sake of those who are near, an order that is a member of believing in one could hope for an intercession of intercessors, and hence deliverance from eternal damnation through not necessity from temporary one. So I'm not telling you to convert to Islam, but you can read in Timothy, Paul the Apostle, the exhortation to Timothy is specified in the intercession of prayers can be made in those of authority. So this is usually done with adoration, confession, or thanksgiving. That means that you either have to confess or you have to respect or show devotion to something, to a certain person, place, or thing. And that comes from the Latin word, or doratio, which means give homage or give worship. Just do that something. In ancient Rome, the adoration was primarily an act of homage. So we'll go back. We're not telling you to worship, something. This is a good one. Thanksgiving. It says, Thanksgiving is celebrated on a day of giving thanks or blessings of a harvest. Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday of October in Canada and fourth Thursday of November. So we have gone through that. So that's what it means when they said intercession. So back to the apostles and Christian martyrism. The early Christian period before Constantine the First, it says the Holy Spirit, the Greek word martas, signifies the witness who testifies the fact that which he has the knowledge of personal observation. It is in this sense that the term first appears in the Christian literature, that the apostles were witnesses, and they had all observed in the public life of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 22, Peter, in his address to the apostles and the disciples relative to the election successor to Judas, employs the term with the meaning whereof of these men who have accomplished with us all the time that the Lord Jesus came and went out among us, beginning in the baptism of John until the day he has taken up from us. One of these must be made witnesses with us of the resurrection. The apostles, from the beginning, faced grave dangers until eventually almost all suffered death for their convictions. Thus, within the lifetime of the apostles, the term martus came to be used in the sense of witness who at any time be called upon to deny to be testified to under the penalty of death. So, the stage of transition was easy for the ordinary meaning of the term, and as used for the certain Christian literature, a martyr is a witness of Christ and is a person who suffers death rather than deny his faith. St. John, at the end of the first century, employs the word in this meaning. The distinction between martyrs and confessors is traceable to the latter part of the second century, that only were martyrs who had suffered extreme penalty, whereas the title of confessors was given to the Christians who shown their willingness to die for their belief. So by bravely enduring imprisonment or torture, but were not put into death, yet the term martyr was still sometimes applied during the third century person as living for the instance of a sectarian. Yes, sir.
Oh, are you
offering
live?
Yeah, it's going to be over. I think it might be over now. I think I got like 10 more minutes. Okay. So that's our show today. We're going to wrap it up. I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, and the third day rose again from the dead. He ascends into hell, sits at the right hand throne of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, eternal life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. By his life, death, and resurrection, his purchased for us these words of eternal life. Grant, we beseech thee, by meditating upon the blessed Holy Rosary and blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and contain what they promise through the same Christ our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive those who trespass against us. Let us pray by his life, death, and resurrection has purchased us for these rewards of eternal life. Grant, we beseech thee, by meditating upon the blessed Holy Rosary and the blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain what they promise. In Christ our Lord. Amen.